Last week, we spoke at length about the many yesodos that are included in the Etzem Makos. The Etzem Makos we begin in this week's parsha by Yomer Hashem Moshe Bo Paro. Ani hichpadti es libo es lev avodav. At the end of last week's parsha, it says, Vayar paro ki chodol amoto v'haborod v'akolos v'yosef l'chato v'ayach be libo hu v'avodav. Doesn't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mach be des libo. V'ayach sak lev paro. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood the lev of Paro, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe that Paro is not going to budge so quickly. It says, "Vechazek Hashem es lev Paro." That is, and Shchin. Oshom Alehem. Kashadibah Hashem Amosh. Sometimes it's Vechazek Hashem as Lev Paro. So, now. In this week's parsha, Vayavah Moshe V'Aaron O Paro, Vayomer Elov Koama Hashem Elokehu Ivrim. Ad Mosa me anto le onos mi ponoi. Shala. Now, Rashi, what is le onos? Le iskona, to be nichna. Paro mentioned last week, symbol of the Yetzirah. Paro is the example why it is that people are confronted with everything that they should see rationally, and they don't budge. In the Haftorah of this past week, it says, Asher omali yo'ori v'ani asison asisini. I created the Nile. Paro was viewed as an avodah zarah. And at the very beginning, it's the Hina Yotze Amaimo, says Paro, because he wasn't avodah zarah, had this myth around him that he wasn't really a human being. And since he had this myth around him, he really wasn't a human being. He never had to go to the bathroom, but he was a human being. So every morning for 15 minutes, he'd go out to the Nile in secret. And then the rest of the day, but it's not only the rest of the day, he fooled everyone. You don't fool everyone unless you fool yourself too. Most people live an incredible fantasy about themselves. They live in a fantasy about themselves. And then when they live in that fantasy about themselves, so even for 15 minutes of the day they realize that fantasy is sheker, the other 23 hours, 45 minutes, they'll live in a whole unreal world about themselves with their gaiva. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Ad mosa me antole onos mi ponai. Paro, for you stamp to send the Jewish people out would be to admit that you're not as all-powerful as you say you are. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just wants one thing, likana, to accept the fact that he's the one who runs the world. Human ego is the biggest impediment to people appreciating what Yiddishkeit is. Because, we talked last week about Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim, it's accepting the fact that we don't run the world at all. In one sense, we do run the world. That is, Chayolam Notabasochenu. Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world in response to our mitzvahs and our averis. So the control we have over the world and what the world does is limited, that if we do mitzvahs and we don't do averis, certain things will happen to us. Certain things will happen to the world. That's the only control we have over the world. The ultimate control is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. And that recognition and acceptance of the fact is one of the most difficult things for people to do today. There are people who would like to change the Torah. And even so-called Orthodox people want to change the Torah. They can't, but the Torah demands that we accept that it's not our Torah. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Human beings have exercised tremendous control over nature. The way it is today is not the way it was 500 years ago. On the other hand, you can only exercise control over nature once you're willing to accept and work within the laws of nature. You have to begin with an anova, that you can control certain things up to a point, but you have to accept that the laws of nature are beyond your control. So too the laws of Torah. No different. You can learn and this and that and think, okay, I have a tremendous insight. At the end of the day, we have to accept the Torah because we're not running the world. Admosai me antule onos mi ponai. And comes an arba, which is Chazek Hashem a slave paro. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechazek a slave paro. Now, once this arb is finished, there's no longer any way back for paro. But because before Choshech, it says Vechazek Hashem a slave paro. And then when Moshe speaks to him, Vechazek Hashem eslev paro. And then comes Choshech, and then comes Makas Bechoros. What's happening here? It is an amazing machlokas Rishonim. It's very important for understanding what Bechira Choshech is about. There are certain very basic yesodos of Yiddishkeit that are expressed very much in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That Yetzias Mitzrayim shows us that Kadosh Baruch Hu is not limited by the world, but rather he controls every aspect of the world. And that, as Ramban said, that can only be explained if you understand Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Yesh Mayayin. The whole world is a product of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore is not limited by it. Rambam, in his medical letters, is a disagreement between him and Galen. Galen was the big Greek medical expert. And they noticed that human hair, for instance, a hair keeps growing and until you cut it. On the other hand, say your eyebrows, they never grow. They're there. They don't keep growing and growing and growing. Your eyelashes don't keep growing and growing and growing. And so is that because Kadosh Baruch Hu was looking for different materials of putting together the human being. He found different types of hair. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not limited. And Rambam says, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not limited by anything. Just created things according to his needs. Created hair in the head one way, created hair in the eyelashes, eyebrows a different way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He made the laws, and he runs the world, and he's totally in charge. The same thing with the Torah. And that is one major yisod. Second major yisod that comes apparent from the Pesukim is the discussion of Bechira Chofshis. Human being has free will. If you have the mindset of the modern human being, that everything is physical, everything's physical causation, you have a very big deal. They have great difficulty with free will. Free will means that there's a very big difference. If I take this and I drop it, there are laws of nature that say it has to fall. If the world is nothing less and different than a bunch of molecules with all the laws about them, there's very little room for free will. But if you believe that a human being is a guf and neshama, and the neshama is not limited by the causation of the physical world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically wanted us to have Bechira Chofshis, because that's the way we build ourselves up, that's the way we create ourselves, we grow, and we develop as human beings. And that's the biggest matana that Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us. So then, the story of Paro becomes very, very interesting. And there are a number of different mahalchim. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, when he sets down the yesodos of Yiddishkeit, says very clearly, that a fundamental part of Torah is the knowledge that a human being has absolute control over himself. Now the Rambam, when he says he has absolute control over himself, took that to an unbelievable extreme. The Rambam in Shmona Prakim says, I can control everything about myself, my actions, my emotions, my thoughts. A person has the potential to totally control himself. With one exception, his dreams. Other than that, the person is in absolute control. And he quotes psukim after psukim, Mi'yipi Hashem lo yetze, Rav atova. It doesn't come out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Re'ein nesativ neicham hayom, brocho klolo, kabrochem tishma'u. It is, we are absolutely in control of every aspect of our life. And the Rambam takes and says, there's nothing that I am not in control. Sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's more difficult. Sometimes I'm a spoiled person. I don't want to have to exert myself. Sometimes it takes tremendous effort for a person to exert himself in terms of Bechira Chofshis. But I do have absolute control. Tosfos in Sanhedrin has an interesting chiluk. Tosfos says, Ein Hanami. A person has absolute control. But a Rasha, sometimes a person has an overwhelming Yetzer Hara. And so you have to, he's going to be Chayev Onish in the Bezin Shomata, going to be Chayev Onish in the Bezin Shomal. You can't call, have to be sympathetic, can't call him such a Russia. And what Tosfos is saying is, as understanding as you can be, and as sympathetic as you can be for a person who can't stand up to his Yetzer Hara, still, He's responsible completely for what he does. He has no any fact that I have an overwhelming yetzer hara to do something. Doesn't excuse him. When that's all sorts of level of averis. What's averis in midas hakas. Many years ago, I had a Talmud. He had a violent temper. And I would talk to him, he would say, well, I'm a Kohen, I just have a temper. There's no such thing. The Torah says kas is wrong, because kas is wrong. You have a temper, so you have a temper. Control your temper. There are other people who are uncontrollable in arayas. Other people uncontrollable in food. And all sorts of things. And what is very interesting, when I was in New York in November, I was talking to my brother-in-law, Novominsky Rebbe, about a certain situation with a certain person about whom there was a major scandal in Klal Yisrael. And he says, well, you know, he had acted exceedingly improperly in a certain way and caused a major chil Hashem. And his response was, well, I guess I'm just addicted to this sort of behavior. That's what it is. Halach, and, you know, my brother-in-law and I both looked at him and told him, you know, we don't see where in the Torah that exists. Yeah, that means, what does he say? I have a tremendous yetzer hara for something. I don't feel myself capable of dealing with it. It's a big deal. So, too bad. Bechira Chavshir says, you have the ability. And if you don't exercise the ability, it's because you don't want to, and you're not going to make the effort to exercise the ability. Morris says, after you do Aveira three times, Nas Lo Keheta. What does it mean? You develop a habit. Become habituated to it. Becoming habituated to it doesn't mean you can't break the habit if you want to. Nowadays, you know, everyone has their multiple addictions and their multiple yetzer haras, and they say, well, you know, it's the way it is. No such thing. Bechira Chavshir says a person can take his life in his hands and act and do with his life exactly what he wants. It's a very powerful idea and sometimes a very difficult idea in today's crazy world for us to put into action. There is an interesting Gemara at the end of Shabbos. Gemara at the end of Shabbos says, if you're born under this constellation, so you'll be a rotzeach, you'll be a, this one you'll be a ganav, this one you'll be this. Avol ein mazel liYisrael. But it doesn't apply to Jews, because Jews aren't influenced by this. So if you take a look, as if beautiful Tshuvas Hagonim in the end of the Otzer Hagonim, where I forget which one of the Gonim writes. He says, listen, we're the same as everybody else. So we have a Torah. So what does it mean? It means that people are born with all sorts of abilities, all sorts of tendencies, some positive tendencies, some negative tendencies. If you don't have a Torah, you're not able to identify what are positive tendencies, what are negative tendencies. You don't have the kalim to control yourself. And so you're just subject to all of these tendencies, whether it's to violence, whether it's to taiva, whether it's anything in the world, midas rahs, whatever. The Torah does two things. The Torah, first of all, helps you clearly identify this is positive, this is negative, this should be developed and this should be suppressed. Sometimes a person's, in today's parlance, I want to find the real me. There's no such thing. You know, you aren't what you find yourself to be. You are what you make yourself to be. The Torah tells you this part of you is positive, develop it. This part of you is negative. Either suppress it, eliminate it, and you have the ability to do it. There are certain unusual times, the Rambam writes, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's biggest punishment to Paro was he took away his Bechira Chavshas. What does that mean? I mean, at this point, after the eighth marker, so V'chazek Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, listen, I can just tell Paro it's finished, it's all over. I can just tell Paro that I'm going to kill him right now. I'm going to take the Jewish people out. I have my plan for the world. And so, because I could do what I want with Paro, part of my punishment means he's going to have to suffer all the indignities of Choshech, Makis Bechoros, Kriyas Yamsuf, and the like. That's all part of my onus for him. And he's not at this point being given the opportunity to do tshuva. And that's part of the onus itself. For eight markets, he said, Ad onai me'amto le'onos miponai. I want you to just be nichna. But Paro's ego was so powerful, he couldn't. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, it'll happen, and I'll make it happen. But I'll make it happen when I want, and I'm just going to sort of drag out the agony because I have my plan. That means, the Rambam writes, that Paro, until this point, the end of the eighth market, had the absolute ability to do tshuva. And it was a battle between HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing him and pressuring him and how strong his ego was going to be. And at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I'll make it happen, but right now I have to do certain things first that I need, and I'm not going to allow you to do tshuva. And that's an onesh. The Sforno has a different mahalach. The Sforno said, Paro, Kadosh Baruch Hu, is holding up Paro as an example of tshuva. Paro had to come to some sort of a recognition. And there are two ways Paro could have let the Jewish people go. One, collapsing under the pressure. Just collapsed, he gave up. Okay, fine, I can do about it. The other, having him come to a clear hakara and understanding of all the messages HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending. You have to understand, Paro wasn't just a ruler. Paro was the ruler of the most advanced civilization at that time. The most powerful and advanced civilization at that time. Paro's being nichna was, in the world at that time, the most powerful ruler of the most sophisticated society coming to Hakara. HaKadosh Baruch was running the world. Now, Paro had to be propped up so he wouldn't collapse under the entire. The Sforno says never under any circumstance does HaKadosh Baruch Hu take away Bechira Chavshas. And there are two groups of psukim the Rambam uses to say that he does. First of all, the psukim here, Then the Pesuk in Hashmein Le'olam Hazeh. And he says, no, in Onish is making Bechira Chavshus more difficult sometimes. Here it was enabling Paro to exercise his Bechira Chavshus. Sometimes when on the pause of Hashmein Le'olam Hazeh, Penyurbi Enof, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, listen, I'm not taking away your Bechira Chavshus, but you've acted in such a corrupt way, I'm going to make tshuva more difficult for you, not take it away from you. And that's the onish. But, says the Sforner, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never ever takes Bechira Chavshus away. Bechira Chavshus is a very powerful idea. And it's a very unpopular idea in the world today. In the world of psychology, you know, there's understanding people, there's defensive people, after all. You know, and the famous story, I think it happened around 40 years ago, San Francisco. Someone walked in, someone got fired from a job. He walked out the door, got fired, walked in 10 minutes later with a gun and shot the boss and killed him in front of everybody. Now, that's a pretty clear case of Ritzicha. And and that was seemed to be a very open and shut case. The lawyer came up with a brilliant defense. Then in between, he'd taken a cupcake, a Twinkie, and he reacted to the sugar in such a way that he sort of lost control of his balance, etc. And he got off. Today's world, people are experts in not taking responsibility for their actions, for what they do. Psychologically this, background this, you have to understand, etc. That whole mahalach in the world today is just against what the Torah says. The Torah says everything is controlled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with one exception. Human Bechira Chavshus. Human Bechira Chavshus is the one thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us as a matana, that we are totally responsible for everything we do. There's no one to blame. So Gemara in Avodah Zarah, very frightening Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Gemara in Avodah Zarah talks about Rabbi Elazar ben Georgia. Remember the first time I learned that Gemara, it disoriented me because the implications of it are very deep. Rabbi Elazar ben Georgia was a man whose entire life was nus. The purpose, he was apparently a very wealthy man, the purpose of his life, everything he did revolved around nus. So the Gemara says, Shelo hoya zona achas ba'olam. There wasn't a single zone in the world shelo ba'olam. Mamish's whole life was nus. Pamach shoma. He heard that there was zona in a faraway place, and who took a fortune, and he put together money, and he traveled, and it's that, and he got there. And just, it says, Vishas Avera, a wind blew through the window, and somehow it was ma'ora him that he'd wasted his entire life. And then he went outside, said, Shemayim va'aretz, help me do tshuva. Shemayim va'aretz sends, and we have our own problems, we can't help you. Eretz v'yamim, har mugvos, I just can't, someone has to help me do tshuva. I can't do it myself. And everywhere he's turning in nature, help me do tshuva. All the natural forces of this world, help me do tshuva. They answer him, listen, we have our problems. We can't help you. And then he finally comes to our court and Cain in Hadova Tole Elabi. It's only dependent on me. Here's a man who spent his entire life in Znus. And when he was confronted with the reality of how he wasted an entire life, he realized he has to get control of his life. And he said, but I can't get control of my life. Someone has to help me get control of my life. And he's told, no, there's only one person who can help you get control of your life. That's you. Says he went out, and when he realized how much he'd wasted an entire life, he died brokenhearted on his wasted life. Yotzus Basco. Basco came out, says Rabbi Elazar ben Georgia Mezuma L'chayim Olam Haba. Shomar, no. Basco said, Zohar, that yes, he had done tshuva. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be made in a person in a specific time he did tshuva. It was a tshuva shleima. But confronting how he killed his life and wasted his life, he was just broken. He was able to do tshuva. Shama Rebbe. Now, who heard that Basco? Says Rabbeinu HaKadosh heard that Basco. Rabbeinu HaKodesh was the absolute opposite of this man. The Gemara tells Rabbeinu HaKodesh was a Kodesh for Tohar. Shoma Rabbi, Bacha, he cried. Rabbeinu HaKodesh heard that Basco and he cried. He says, Yesh Kono Lomo Bahar Beishonim. He says, most of us to be Kono Lom Haba have worked and we've struggled. And we've overcome this Yonos. It's been very difficult. Lo od, not only that, Elishakor Mosa Rebbe. What did the Basco say? Elozer ben Georgia Mazum El Chaim Ola? Or Rebbe Elozer? Rebbe Elozer. Why is he Reb? Because he taught us the Koach of Tshuva. What did Rebbe Elozer ben Georgia teach us? The absolute power of Bechiru Chafshus. The absolute power of Bechiru Chafshus. That a person has the capacity, no matter what, no matter how many years, no matter how corrupt and depraved his life is, take his life in his hands and say, Adka, that's it. Bechiru Chafshus. It's a very frightening thing. It's much easier to go with the contemporary world of psychology, etc. It says, well, it's a this, you have to be understanding and sympathetic. Torah says there is Bechiru Chafshus. Sometimes, Kadosh Baruch Hu may take it away from us, according to the Rambam, according to the Sforno Neva. Sometimes he gives it to us so we shouldn't collapse, in the case of Paro. Sometimes he makes it more difficult. But on what do we have Bechiru Chafshus? We have Bechiru Chafshus on everything. We have Bechiru Chafshus on our actions, on our emotions, on our midas, on our ideas, on everything. There's no part of human activity that there is no Bechiru Chafshus. You are not what you discover yourself to be. You are what you make yourself. You may discover, I have a tendency for this, I have a tendency for that. This has to be encouraged, this has to be suppressed. But a person has the ability to be anything he wants, to make himself. And that is a very frightening thing, because it means ultimately every human being is responsible for what he is, and there's no one to blame. Well, when I was 5 years old, my mother did this, and I was 6 years old, you know, my father did this, and I was 10 years old, my neighbor did this, and the kids in the class did this, and everything. Yes, but you have b'chira chashus. Make it more difficult, make it more challenging. But you can make yourself to be whatever you want to make yourself to be. And there's no one to blame except you yourself. And that is one of the things, the whole story of Paro. Story to say, Paro, it's up to you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Paro to come to his own independent recognition. And that even a Paro, at the end, can come to such a recognition. May take the world turned upside down. But we have the power. And the power of Bechira Chofshis is the most demanding thing. On the one hand, some people get depressed by it. It's much easier to blame. On the other hand, when a person sees the koach he has, he can turn himself into anything he wants. Rama says, Tzadik kamosha Rabbeinu. Chacham kishlam. He can turn himself into a chacham. People use a very small amount of their talent. And if they put their minds to it, they can become whatever they want. In chachma, tzidkis, midas, and it all ain hadovo toli elabi. It's all in our hands. Turn ourselves into whatever we want to become or whatever we should become. Torah says what we should become. Torah says, look at yourself, take what it is, and make yourself what the Torah wants you to be. You have the ability because you have the b'chira chashus.